Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
The Lord said something to me at that time. He said, "You worship me behind closed doors. Just take it public, and I'll do the rest."
Jesus said, "The greatest gift is love, because faith works by love, and without faith it is impossible to please God." Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory for more insight into the God kind of love.
Hello, everybody. I got some good news for you. Jesus is alive. He's doing well. He's on the right hand of the Father. He is Lord God, Advocate General of the Church. He belongs to you, and He belongs to me, and He's in us right now, and His faith dwells within us. And let's pray.
Thank God.
Hallelujah. I got my heart full of praise today.
Yes.
Father, we thank you today for the Lordship of Jesus. And we praise you for manifesting yourself today. Gifts of healings, working of miracles, special faith being manifested today throughout the body of Christ that's hearing this message, and in other places too, in churches and places all over the earth, just manifesting yourself, showing yourself alive, showing yourself with a great witness to the nations. Ha ha, and then the end will come, you said, Jesus. We praise you for this broadcast, like I said, and we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 12, and we will read the third verse again. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man among you the measure of faith." The measure of faith. And we talked about the fact that this is the same measure of Jesus. And then we went to Mark 11, 22, where Jesus said, "Have the faith of God." That is the faith of God. It's in the heart of every born-again child of God, as I said. Now, we also found out, Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." Then He said, "Why is it you have no faith?" Then we found out that Abraham had strong faith. And then we found out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the third verse, that your faith groweth exceedingly. So, it's not left up to God, it's left up to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 10% Word, 90% television, you get 10% results, which is nothing. You'll never be...
Secular television.
Yes, I'm talking about secular television. I'm talking about, you know, all the movie junk and all of that stuff. It's up to you. It's your choice. Or 50% Word. You can see what I'm saying. Total immersion, it'll put your faith in a place where you then, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Well, I have to make a living. Really, where'd you get that? Well, everybody knows you have to make a living. No, everybody don't know that. It's only you that live under the curse that know that. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you."
Most people don't make a living 24 hours a day either.
No, and they don't really make a living. Even those that are making a lot of money, that the curse goes along with it. Remember what Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it."
Yes, amen.
Now, here's where I'm getting at in this life of faith. "The just shall live by faith." Now, the Scripture says, right back over there in the book of Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good, get you a good job. You know, this don't mean you can't sell dope and live by faith. Everybody knows that. But, I ain't got time to go there. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good. Listen, to make a living? No. In order that he might have to give to him that needs. You're working for seed. You sow seed and live by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the purpose of your working. Your purpose for working is not just to pay bills. Of course you're using that to pay bills. But the principle here is your purpose is not to earn a living. Your purpose is to live and walk by faith. You're a tither. You're a giver of offerings. And if you'll walk in the light of that 30, 60, and 100-fold, you can literally come to the place, I know those that have. You can come to the place where everything that's coming in off your job is your seed, and you're living by faith far above what your seed is producing. I mean, what your job is producing. That's living by faith. Now, you can't do that and live in unforgiveness. No. We have a commandment from Jesus. Faith, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength, so forth. But then he said, love the brethren even as God. Loving the brethren even as God. Are you listening to me? Loving the brethren. Love one another. This is not optional. Hallelujah.
You know, it's amazing how the scripture is just so supernatural. It can say so much in just one line.
Yeah.
One line. Love is the key to
Absolutely. Everything.
Faith, here's the one line. Faith works by love.
Galatians 5, 6. No love, no faith.
That's right.
Well, you remember yesterday we read Romans 4, 16? Therefore it is of faith so that it might be by grace. Hey, you can't make it without grace. You cannot make it as a Christian.
You don't want to go there.
I mean, you can die and go to heaven, but you're going to live miserable on this earth.
That's right.
If grace is not working in your life. Therefore it is of faith so that it might be by grace. So, no love, no faith, no faith, no grace. And you go in, you go check out all the things that grace has to do with. Oh my goodness.
Oh, that's big.
You do not want to go there. Now, and this is, see, here's the thing of it is. This is a commandment, and we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this, my brother and sister. Now, listen to me carefully. The commander in chief has given us an order.
An order.
This is the law of the New Testament, and it satisfies all the law of the Old Testament. It satisfies every commandment of the Old Testament. Now, why did God demand to keep those commandments? Because if you kept those commandments, then he was in position where the blessing would work.
Yeah.
He wasn't being hard on you. Let me give you something that the Lord gave me. Gloria, I've had a lot of things that the Lord's given me, has blessed me over the years. But I don't know of any that's blessed me really any more than that. When he said, Kenneth, would you like for me to read the Ten Commandments to you? Yeah. And he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, you don't want to be doing that because they can't bless you.
That's right.
And he said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. He said, no, don't be doing that. He said, I got one that I got one better looking than
just
her.
For you.
I got one picked out just for you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, she's wonderful. Don't be going over there. I got something here for you. Don't be stealing, because this blessing is far beyond anything you could steal. I'm telling you, this is beyond what you can ask or think.
Praise God.
Can you see what he was getting at?
Yeah.
He read all that whole list to me. And I thought, wow. And I went back then and read it for myself, and it's right there. It's right there. It says it right there that he will bless you. That's the whole thing. Then he said, and you remember in Isaiah 43:25, he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. I said, Lord, for your own sake? Oh, yeah. He said, if I remember your sins, I can't bless you.
Oh,
now, and then he said, I don't remember this stuff. Now, he said, I remember, and I'll tell you, Bill Dennington sent this to me. And it just went off on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And Bill said, now, we need to forget what God has forgotten and remember what God has remembered.
Yeah,
because he remembers our sin no more. We need to forget that.
That's right.
He, in the third chapters of the book of Colossians, Jesus blotted out our sins.
Why should you let it keep beating you over the head?
Casting
when
down.
It's been done away with.
Gloria, it's been done away with.
That's right.
And casting down imaginations and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The devil's going to bring his sin up to you. And you get your mind on that, you know what you'll do? You'll either repent or sin more. That, Jay, I'm backing off from that. Why? You remember that?
My.
It'll drag you down, put you in depression, and give the devil entrance into your life. This is what living by faith is all about.
Praise God.
Amen. We walk in love. You may not even want to, but you do it because it's a commandment. But when you do it, whoa.
Blessing.
And here it comes. You don't say, oh, God, let me feel it where I can do it. No, come on, man. That doesn't work at all. Stove, give me some heat and I'll put in some wood. That's backwards. No, you act on it first. You act on it while you're still mad. You be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You act on it. You know what that says? I told you yesterday. It says, in the book of Ephesians, be angry and sin not. It's all one statement. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Give the devil no place.
Yeah.
All that is one thing, see. Mm-hmm. Now, when you obey Jesus, when you obey His command, then the Holy Spirit is responsible to move in your behalf. It may be a while before you feel anything different because your flesh, you've been practicing your flesh. You've been practicing your feelings. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. Love one another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. We read that yesterday and about to read it again. Well, let's turn over there and look at it today from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And like I said, we've been given this commandment to love one another. Be ye kind one to another, verse 32, being tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, even as God for the sake of the anointing that's in you forgave you when you confessed your sin. Now, okay, I'm obeying the Word of God. Here's somebody that, I'm telling you, you just don't know what they did to me. But I made up my mind to obey God. And in the name of Jesus, as an act of my will, I will do what Jesus told me to do. I don't like it. I don't feel like it. But I'm under command here. I'm a soldier here. I'm under command. Yes, sir. And I stand up, I mean literally, stand up to attention and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I forgive so-and-so. Now, as far as I'm concerned, sir, they are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
That's done. I forgive them. I'm going to treat them right. I'm going to treat them like they're forgiven. And then two or three days later, you're walking up the front steps of the church or something, and here they come. It just rises up in you. What is it Jesse does? Just rises up in you. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. See, I thought I forgave him. You did. Don't fall for that. The devil's trying to get you to get back in there. No, your flesh has been practicing that for how long? I don't know. Just put your flesh down. Say, hello. How good it is to see you. Remember when Keith Moore preached on that at the minister's conference? Then you go back to see your family, that bunch, and you go in, hello. It's so good to see you. On the inside, you're thinking, you idiot. It's so good to see you. No, what happens? No, the love of God rises up in you. You put the love to work. You can't say that without the love of God coming up in you, because that's His job. I love Jesus. Here comes the Holy Ghost, because He's been shed abroad in your heart. Amen. So, it's so good to see you. What are you doing? You're retraining your flesh. I'm living and acting by love. I want you to know it'll either turn that, in most cases, it'll turn that other person. I'm thinking about this story. This woman and her brother had been separated for 25 years over an inheritance of some kind. And she came to get her healing. She got in Brother Hagin's services. And she said, you know, I see what I must do here before I ever get in that healing line. I'm going to have to forgive him. Amen. There's no way I can get my healing hold in that. So she says, she decided, well, I'm going to call him. So she called him. And she, 25 years she hadn't talked to him. She had to find out his number.
Her own brother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she called him. She said, I just wanted to call you. Oh, he said, I'm so glad to hear from you. I've been thinking about calling you. Well, see, when she did that, the Lord's working on the other end, preparing things. Don't ever forget that. So, and she told him, well, I just wanted to forgive you. It's all my fault. Now, this is what you need to do. You need to take all the blame, whether it was or not. Men, you listening to me, you take the blame and you stop the fuss. Take the whole blame. Why don't I just shut your mouth? I said that by the Holy Ghost. You've been arguing with God about this, whoever I'm talking to right now. Mm. Take the blame. You're the man. Take the blame. Baby, I'm sorry. This whole thing is my fault. We just got to stop this right now. We got to put a stop to this. If we're going to live like that, we're going to live by faith, if we're ever going to prosper, if we're ever going to get out of debt, if we're ever going to get our healing,
got to come into agreement.
We got to come into agreement. These kids are sick, and we got to do something about this. And he said, Brother Hagin said, she told him, she said, I called him, and she said, I just wanted to tell you it's all my, no, he said it's all my, no, she said it's my fault. And she said, we like to get in a fuss again about whose fault it was. And they laughed, and they got together, and she got her healing immediately, and it was very serious thing.
Praise God.
Very serious.
Praise
sick.
God.
And you got to make the connection between the sickness.
Yeah.
And the very serious disease that was in her body. Amen.
Amen.
This is, you know what this is? This is life in the faith land.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, it's time for part two of Lynn and Kathy Mink's testimony.
We are Len and Kathy Mink. We currently live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I've been at Kenneth Copeland Ministries for 39 years, going on 40. I met Kenneth first at a Full Gospel Businessmen's television taping at Cathedral of Tomorrow in Akron, Ohio, Rex Humbard's studio, one of the first pioneers of Christian television. I was there to sing and Kenneth was there to teach. And we met for the first time there. And then immediately after that, just a few weeks after that, we met again at a Kenneth Hagin camp meeting in Tulsa. Kenneth called me one day in 1977 and he said, I was praying. And so you know what's coming, you know. He said, I was praying and I kept seeing your face come up before me. And I would like to ask you to please pray about being our worship leader, because I'm going to be having big meetings all over the world. And I need someone on the platform that is used to that kind of setting. And I would like for you to consider leading worship.
The Lord said, that's the door of blessing I want you to step through. And that was not easy for Lynn because he had only sung solos. He'd been in show business and all of that, and he had never led anyone in singing.
The Lord said something to me at that time. He said, you worship me behind closed doors. Just take it public and I'll do the rest. Here's what he said. He said, all you have to do is wherever you go and whatever you do, create an atmosphere for me to be able to be myself. So I'm convinced after years of experience and years of study and talking to all my rabbi friends and all this, that God not only spoke the universe into existence, but he sang the worlds into existence. Because of that, he said, Job said, the stars have a song. Jesus said, if you don't praise me and let these people praise me, the rocks will praise me. They have a song. Everything has a musical frequency, a component that it's the most powerful thing in the universe. It created the universe. These divine frequencies can be downloaded from the Word and downloaded by the Holy Spirit and come into us and then come back out of us in the form of worship and praise and song and win victories that nothing else can win. I want people to get to know my Jesus through song, get to know the Word through song, get to know deliverance and healing and prosperity through song, and children to come to the Lord through song and the gospel duck ministry that I have with the little duck voice, and just all kinds of different ways. So our life has just been fabulous. We're on TV all over the world now, and it's just been great.
Do you realize what has been put in us from being in almost every single believers' convention for 30-some years with the highest level nourishment from the strong word of faith possible on the earth being laid out on a silver platter for us? I mean, it has strengthened us in the inner man. It has brought us into divine health, prosperity, everything, and it's enabled us to then teach others the word. So through mainly Kenneth and Gloria, we have taken steps from the time we were saved and came to Kenneth Copeland Ministries till now. And we're always moving forward, doing what they teach and teaching it ourselves. And we live the example that they set before us because they are always the same behind the scenes as they are in the pulpit. And we will always be indebted to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland.
Yes.
For the joy, the victory, the knowledge they have given us, the faith they have built into us. And there's no two people that we hold in higher esteem on the earth.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.